we welcome back to the studio Kim and Chip from State Farm. Hi.
Hello. Good
morning. We are. Everyone is waiting to see what words are going to be uttered in this segment. In this segment.
Chip's friends are already ready to text.
Yeah, I'm already receiving texts from friends.
Can't believe you said that.
All right.
Yeah, we won't get back into that.
Yeah.
No.
So to speak. Just. I know this is not on our list of topics, but we were talking about the teen driver at driving school who hit.
She thought it was in reverse.
Oh yeah.
Hit drive, and she's right in front of the school and drives the SUV through the plate glass window, and gets in all the way to the windshield into the driving school. Fortunately, no one had any serious injuries or anything like that, but she did not pass the test, in case you were wondering.
He probably might have passed her.
That's usually the older generation that does that. I had the car insured on Langan Road that drove through the window of Hardee's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Usually it's an elderly person.
That's one you're gonna have to pay out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really anything you can do. Okay, no, never mind. Okay, here you go.
The brake for the gas. It happens more than you know.
Yeah, so that's where I was going. An unusual collision that you might have had. Chip, you said you had somebody crash into the Hardee's.
They were parked in front of by the building and got in the car and hit the gas instead of the brake and went in through the window. Unfortunately, nobody was hurt, but damage to the building and that type of thing, you know.
Have you had something like that?
People literally took the drive-in with them.
I think that's going to be me one day. I have this awful, awful, awful suspicion. And I have the privilege now of insuring two teenage drivers, soon to be three. And we've talked about that on the program before. But I know you deal with a lot of nervous parents who are getting out there. And I know that State Farm offers lots of discounts and things like that for the teenagers if they've proven responsible in the past.
The steer clear discount for no tickets or accidents is a good one.
And good student discounts.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about, we had a awful windstorm. How long ago was it?
March 1st and 2nd.
You guys remember this because you were the ones getting all the calls. Right. And it not only was power outages, but also lots of home damage. What kind of calls were you getting after the storm?
Well, I think the first thing you remember, with situations like that are considered catastrophic claims, where lots of people are involved all at one time, whether it be wind, hail, hurricanes, which is another form of wind, or tornadoes, but they do a wide swath across a section of a town, and a great number of people are having a loss, as opposed to a single isolated fire or a single isolated wind claim. So they're totally approached differently because they have to send in teams of people to help work the claims. And then the big thing you see a lot of times with roof damage, you have people who travel from one area of the country to the other, and all they do is they basically scam people. They get up on the roof and they tell them they need a roof, and the next thing you know, they've done that, and then they're gone somewhere, and problem with the roof, and you can't find them. So lots of little things come into play with these catastrophic situations because everybody's desperate and everybody's panicking and everybody's trying to get something done quick.
There used to be a differentiation between a weather claim, a weather event, and a non-weather event, like Chip was saying, from an underwriting standpoint. If you had a hurricane or you had a wind loss where your roof needed to be replaced, back in the day when companies were looking at your overall record to see whether or not they wanted to offer you insurance, they wouldn't count the weather-related claims. And now those claims are counted as any other previous claim.
Because you can do so much about the weather.
Yeah.
Right.
I see how you would leave it out, and how you'd say, things you can control, you shouldn't have been speeding around the curve or something like that. And it does seem a little tough to say, it ain't too bad about that windstorm. You should have gotten out of there, or you should have stopped it. You should have called God, turn that down. But let me ask you, if you have so many claims and you're bringing in people from outside of the area, does the standard or the level of inquiry or whatever it is go down? I mean, do you tend more toward writing the check than making sure that everything, all the I's are dotted and T's crossed?
Not necessarily. I think what happened with us, our office that morning was just inundated with calls. And so all you do in those cases, as opposed to going through the formal claims process, you take a yellow pad and you write down the name, the phone number, the nature of their damage, is the house inhabitable or uninhabitable, and you tell them to take, we tell them to do what a prudent individual would do. Whatever makes good common sense, you can make temporary repairs, whatever you've got to do to secure that loss and not let it get any worse. Tarps over roofs, you can have your contractors come in and do those necessary repairs, temporary repairs. But we tell them, don't go ahead and make general repairs until a claims adjuster has a chance to come and see what the problem is.
And most people now carry a higher homeowner's deductible. So a lot of these claims actually just don't even exceed their deductible. Right. So you want to make what we refer to as a claim inquiry. You contact your agent, let them know that you have damage. You know, our advice is go get an idea of what the damage is and how much it's going to be. And if it's going to be significant and you want to file a claim, we can do it at that time. And to your point, there's ways now where they can pinpoint the wind velocity at a certain neighborhood. So if all of the houses in that neighborhood had that same situation, to your point, Brian, there may be a situation where with an estimate, you know, they may be able to do that. But for the most part, State Farm still, even with our catastrophe team, we're actually doing inspections of roofs, not just necessarily looking at contractors' estimates.
Because they're bringing claims people in from all around the country and teams, and they're just going across. And what they do is they come in and set up a hotel room as a base with all the computers, and then they work all during the day looking at claims and inspecting roofs and losses. Then at night they go back and do the paperwork or the computer work, upload it to the company. Next day they go right back. So it's almost 24 hours a day going that way.
Did you have homes that were uninhabitable? Did anybody have
I didn't have any that were uninhabitable.
Just damage, just roof damage,
right.
Yeah.
A lot of people think because the electricity is out or something that it's uninhabitable, but that's not by
Come
definition
Come on, I can't get the big screen right. on here. Help me out.
Exactly.
So, and then just one quick note, when it's wind rather than rain, that's pretty much going to be covered. It's if it's rain damage. Is that when you would, like we talked with hurricanes, wind versus water damage?
Yeah, it depends on how the rain, how the water gets in. One day we were talking about it. Rainwater coming in is covered if it comes in before it hits the ground. Once rain hits the ground, it then becomes, by definition, rising water or flood that people understand. But if it rains through your window, rains and comes back in under the soffits of the house from the gutters being stopped up, and the damage then is covered. But wind damage is definitely covered. And sometimes it raises shingles and water gets in that way.
Or if a tree falls on it and you've got a hole and the water is now coming through. In. The other thing is people need to understand that they need to take, like Chip said, take care to get the damage to stop being any worse than it is. So you don't just leave your hole in your loss. We call it mitigate your damages, but it's protecting your property.
Right.
From letting it get any worse.
So now let's talk about something else here with the storms. We had not just in Virginia, but up and down the East Coast, when you had, three or four nor'easters hitting pretty much weekly. People without power, I mean, it still is about 4,000. Now, they're west of us out in the western part of AEP. But you had people in New England who went between two storms and some change that didn't have power. So you've got your whatever's in your refrigerator, in your freezer, these things spoil. Can they? Hey, look! I've had a bunch of high-end Omaha steaks in the freezer, about $4,000 worth.
No sauce or ketchup.
Right.
Just the Omaha steaks.
That's it. So when am I getting my check for that?
Food spoilage is covered.
Okay.
But it's again subject to your deductible. So if you've got a $2,000 deductible, and you'd have to have at least $2,000 worth of food spoilage. Some people do. I mean, if they've got
two freezers,
and you've got receipts because you bought it, you know, from a meat vendor or whatever, it's possible.
And then what they
I bet Mary has $2,000 worth of food in her house at any time.
She's got three teenagers.
Feels like it.
And what we do is we tell them to take pictures. That in all cases, take pictures. In other words, the adjuster can't get there maybe for several days to a week, and whatever the loss is, take pictures. And go ahead and try to make temporary repairs. But in the food spoilage, you can take pictures and then take the food out and get rid of it, but make a list. They have to make a list just like any inventory, and then they have to approximate the price. And they're not going to nitpick them to death. But like you said, Brian, if it's all of a sudden everything in that freezer was the best beef money can buy, and
it's all Kobe beef straight from Japan,
right,
seriously,
right. It's going to be suspect. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. What I have found, and I bet Kim has too, people tease about that like we're doing. I find the majority of people are brutally honest when the claim happens. They'll tease and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And when it happens, they're brutally honest. And I think the basic honest Steve comes out in people when that happens.
That's good to, good to hear.
That's kind of insurance fraud.
That's why we suggest everybody, you know, especially new clients that are getting a new homeowner's policy, and all of it's new, right? Being a new homeowner, all of it. You need to have photo proof, if you will, of what your house looks like, because you'll forget about the tables and you'll just forget about those things if you have a serious situation.
So would you have people every 6 months or a year? Maybe you go through it. I mean, now with digital cameras or just
Absolutely.
Your phone, it's not like you've got to have a little storage space or anything that.
Yeah, and if you don't have that, you can take pictures, you can put them in a fireproof safe. But
a photo
for the most
inventory.
Part, some your inventory is proof that you have it.
Okay.
Right. And then it's how much is it going to cost to replace it, how old it was, those kinds of things.
So did you get a lot of calls about power outages? Like people wondering if that's covered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What always. Would be covered under a power outage? Like if you can...
Well, it depends
Stay
on
in a
if
hotel?
It causes. Sometimes it can be a medical situation where an oxygen situation won't run, oxygen mechanism won't run, or things of that nature could make it uninhabitable to that individual, and then they might have some coverage. But under normal circumstances, just because the power's out, you can still live in the house, as opposed to a fire loss where the smoke and is so deep and burns and et cetera that you just can't live in the house. But in the dark, I mean, you can live in the house without current.
What if it's really cold and you don't have heat? Would you be able to claim then that, hey, you know, you guys need to pay for my 3 nights in a hotel?
Or really hot and you don't have air. Either way,
well, I think you could probably make the first argument more easily than the second one,
right,
I guess.
Right. No, it's typically still not covered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
an inconvenience.
Yeah, it's an inconvenience.
The additional living expense part of your policy applies if you've got a covered loss and you can't live in your home.
Right. And the other thing I would tell, I have a case right now during the windstorm, and this lady we told her to get an estimate and get back to us and let us know how much it was. So as Kim said, we could determine, did she have enough to get over a deductible, et cetera. Next thing we know, she's had the roof fixed. No, I'm sorry, it was a fence. She had a fence blow down. Excuse me, it was a fence. And she had it fixed and put back, and we got a bill for something like, it was like
$3,000. $10,000.
And she wanted it covered, and she had no pictures, and the person who repaired the fence had a bill with a rubber stamp name on the top. It wasn't even a proper bill head, so we submitted it to the company, and they're looking at it now. But we told her, suppose he'd have submitted it for $7,000. You just want us to roll over and pay it because that's what it is. You've got to give us a chance to look at it, and it certainly wasn't an American. Well, I have a dog, and what am I to do? You go, it's an inconvenience, but you can't just repair the thing at first guy comes by.
And the estimate has to be a legitimate estimate. It's got to have labor. It's got to have materials. It can't just be, I'm going to replace your roof for $6,000.
Right. And that's what this estimate did on the fence. One, labor and materials, X number of dollars.
And $6,000 may be good. That might be a good price for the roof replacement.
If you get your roof replaced for $6,000, you're probably doing all right.
But no linear footage, no in roofs, no numbers of squares. No breakdown, which insurance companies all want materials and labor broken down separately.
Just a big total. You know, you were talking about fire damage, and I was talking to a friend who is an insurance investigator, and he said, he'll investigate fires. And I immediately thought, arson, somebody sets a fire. But he says it's more like a fire breaks out and say it was a dishwasher that caught fire.
Right.
So the insurance company will want to know if they can go after the...
Subrogate.
Yeah, exactly. Go after the manufacturer of the dishwasher. Does that happen quite often where you're looking for...
I was a brand new agent, and I had a total fire because of an electric blanket. And so State Farm was able to get the insured back to where they needed to be, and then we went back to the manufacturer of the electric blanket.
We've got a whole department. Most companies probably do, but we have a whole department that does nothing but go after subrogation. And I forget the millions of dollars we take in each year through nothing but subrogation so that the negligent party pays for the damage. It makes sense.
Kim and Chip, remind listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Kim Gardner, 220 Amelon Square in the Amelon Shopping Center.
And I'm Chip Harvey on Timberlake Road next to McDonald's.
Thank you both. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.